For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. I'm not sure where you're heading right now, but you're probably heading in the wrong direction. But I will get to that in just a second. Our toll-free number to call in is 844-320-4299. Again, 320-4299. If you cannot listen to this entire show today, this show is rebroadcasted on Saturdays at 1 p.m. And if you haven't noticed, there's lots of things that tie all of these shows together. So from previous shows, I build off of these shows and I make references and read citations of the Federalist Papers and so forth. And I don't want to reread those. You don't want me to reread those. So consequently, to stay abreast with the content, you will need to listen to all of these shows to garner what Republic Review is and how we together can reclaim the Republic. Don't forget, you can download the podcast at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to stay informed. And slowly but surely, these podcasts are getting up to YouTube, and there's a link on the ReclaimingTheRepublic.org webpage for that. So you can always sign up on YouTube and subscribe to the Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel. That way you can get notified when the next one is uploaded. Again, if you haven't heard me gloat a little bit, we did have a power outage a few weeks back, and I really didn't get a chance. I don't feel like I'm done gloating. But it was so nice to go a whole day while everybody else was dealing with the heat and no electricity and the inconveniences and whatever they else had to deal with. We didn't have to deal with that because we decided in moving up here, we already knew the power outages were common, especially this time of year. And sometimes you have really bad wind storms like in November in 2015. And so power was out, I think, for a week for some people. But regardless, we were very, very happy. The other thing we did is that we went with a redundant air conditioning system. And so by going with a full HVAC, and we also have a ductless AC system. And believe it or not, we've actually seen a significant savings in our electrical bill by using two air conditioning systems for our home, by using both the whole house and the ductless system. And both of those systems, the generator and the ductless air conditioners, were installed by ACI Northwest. You definitely want to check them out and what they can bring to the table in helping you have some redundancy in your power and other, I think, essential services. Because maybe it's just because I'm getting older and I don't like the heat and humidity and so forth, or the cold, because we have the extremes here, don't we? Anyway, you're probably heading in the wrong direction if you're not going out to Spokane Valley and heading out towards Darcy's out on Sprague, because tonight is the Northwest Grassroots Movie Night, and it is where you get to meet and mingle with the candidates for city council. They start at about 5:30. I think technically it gets started at 6 o'clock. So if you're not heading that way, you need to, because this, like I've said this several times, and I'm going to say this until the election comes. This is a very important election. If you haven't really taken a look and you don't understand the candidates that are currently looking to get reelected this year and why we need to elect new, good, conservative city council members, then hopefully in the next coming weeks and before the election, we'll get into these issues and why these issues are very important to you, so that we can change the focus of big government from Spokane City to a productive Spokane City in supporting businesses and employment and productivity in this city, instead of a lot of the wasted money and wasted issues, like trying to levy a fee on railroad cars coming through and so forth. Anyway, another local announcement. On Friday, Mayor Condon will be at the Republican Coffee Club, and he will be speaking. The admission is $5, and if you want a donut, then it'll cost you an extra dollar. And that is in the Bangkok Thai restaurant inside the No Lie Brew House. And it's right there on the intersection, kind of the catty corner, the corner, and I believe it's the northeast corner of Hamilton and Trent. Now, I mentioned this last week that there was a Yupik flower farm in Suncrest. I saw the signs, and I'll give you a little more backstory here. My wife and I were going to celebrate our 26th wedding anniversary, and unfortunately, we couldn't, because I was sick, I had some problems, she had to work and so forth, and we just could not have the health and the ability to really celebrate our 26th. So what we did was said, you know what, there's another thing significant about 26. It's, you know, there's this thing called a marathon, and a marathon is a long distance race, right? So what we did was we said, well, let's celebrate the marathon mark of our marriage, which is 26.2 years. And so last week was that marathon mark, and my wife actually and thoroughly enjoyed, gentlemen, the flowers from this Yupik farm. They're open from Thursdays to Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 12, and open again from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Their flowers are $10 for a mason jar. So you take a mason jar, you pick all the flowers, and as many flowers as you can put in that mason jar, it's $10. You can't get that deal from FTD, and you can't get that deal from anybody else. And especially when you present those flowers that you handpicked, I think you'll get, what do they call that, equity credits or what have you with that special loved one. And you will probably be more of a hero in their eyes. Anyway, so the details for the Sunnyvale Flower Farm in Suncrest is actually on my podcast page. It's towards the very bottom. I've mentioned Quam Watch Repair, where they were very honest in their dealings with me. And here's another business that I think, you know, deserves to be highlighted, especially if you've got a special event, or you just need to make up because you said something wrong. Go get some flowers. That'll make it right. I'm still waiting for a few chairs to get back to me, but I did send out an email requesting all the local leaders in the area to, you know, see what we can do about Constitution Day. I, you know, I'm hearing some things that are happening, and I kind of want to give you a full appraisal of here's the different events that you can, you know, partake in or enjoy, or what you can do for Constitution Day. And if you didn't know, it's September 17th. And so as that information starts to come in, and as I start hearing from the rest of the chairs, then, because I've actually heard from a few, and I've just got a couple more to go, but I'm hoping that I can tell you next week what the potential is, what the opportunities are. I can't believe that the city of Spokane is not having a Constitution Day celebration. But anyway, that we'll talk more about this as we start ramping up towards this, because there is literally nothing more important in our government than that Constitution. And so, you know, it should be a far more centerpiece in what we do and focus in our interactions of government and so forth, because I think the framers absolutely had it right. And as I've said, that's just due to the divine providence. If you're affiliated with local civics or political organizations, then let me know. And if you're doing anything, then I'd be happy to put it out on the air that we're actually doing something. So please let me know. If nothing else, let's all plan on making the Constitution sacred once again by reading it that day. Now, we've got a hard break coming up, so we'll be right back after this break, and I got more good content for you. So on the last note of local, getting with local leaders and trying to find out what they're going to do, if you are involved in a local group and the civics and so forth, please communicate to your leaders that you understand and believe in the adage that united we stand, divided we fall. And it is far more important that we start putting aside whatever differences we may have between the Constitution Party, Libertarian, and so forth, because we're losing our liberties. Everybody knows that. And we understand also the financial threats and everything else. And when you know what hits what fan, then if we aren't in the right spot in moving towards reclaiming this republic, then I would dread to think what we may have to suffer. And with that, let me go on a different note, because I talked about the grassroots tonight, and you want to go there. That is a must attend, especially if you want to meet the candidates. Next month, the grassroots organization has invited me to do the movie night production. And so I will be presenting basically my executive summary on the irrefutable argument of Republic Review, or basically it's titled Republic Review, or Reclaiming the Republic with Republic Review. So something that you can put on your calendar for next month. And what is the second Wednesday of next month? That would be the 9th. So something you can put on your calendar for the 9th of August. I've talked a bit about conventions, conventionites, anti-conventionites, and I even think I've led the term the un-anti or un-anti-conventionites. In other words, the anti, like anting in a poker game or what have you, where you've thrown your chip in to say, I'm in the game. The conventionites and the anti-conventionites, they've already thrown their chips onto one side of that table, one for and the other one against. And this is another distraction. This is another form of wasting our opportunity costs and trying to pursue more words to throw at the Constitution so that those people in power that put their arm to the square and swear that they will defend the Constitution, then they put their arm down and ignore every word of it. So you want to add more words to ignore. We're not at the point where we could even consider making some amendments. And I'm a firm believer that there's things that need to be changed. And I've actually told people that are anti-conventionites that I believe that we should legitimize the Veterans Administration and amend the Constitution, giving them that power. But instead of creating this whole separate department of bureaucracy, that is something that should be done underneath the Department of Defense. Why would we need something else? The Department of Defense knows who these veterans are. They know what their problems are. It shouldn't have to go through a whole new bureaucracy. It should be seamless and transitioned. And I mean, if you really want to cut costs, then talk to me, because I've written some theses while I was in the Marine Corps about how we could really cut defense costs and so forth and not compromise our mission and capability. But that's a different subject, and it's interesting, but it doesn't really have to take necessarily a constitutional look at what's going on. I did mention last week about this North Korean issue, and I'm not sure if you've gone onto the podcast website, because down below I have the Curry and Winterm testimony that they gave to Congress. If you haven't read that, you need to go and read that. They provide a timeline of when the Chinese government provided the Clinton administration money and what happened after they were provided money. It seemed like there was constantly a windfall for the Chinese. They were giving and receiving some of our most sensitive technologies of missile guidance and so forth from Loral. And, you know, don't take my word for it. Go read the congressional record. That link takes you to Congress, the Congress's records, and it is a PDF. You can read it, print it out, and share it with your friends, because your jaw will drop when you realize that there's absolutely an association to what Clinton was doing for money and, you know, letting basically China pay to play. And he was selling our country and our national secrets outright. So what does this have to do with anything? Well, we keep on hearing about all of these allegations and these potential problems and crimes. And I'm going, let's just go after the Clintons for that first. Or instead of trying to manufacture some problem, let's actually go after the crimes we've known that have been committed, because we're dealing with problems in North Korea, Iran, and Pakistan, and so forth. And where did specifically Iran and North Korea, these are rogue nations that are being supported and supplied by China. And so China doesn't have to lift a finger to, you know, make us have to play hardball. They actually have rogue nations that they will be able to manipulate and provide all the goods that they will need to basically give us a headache or a bad day. And so if you're looking at the perspective of the news and you're looking at what's going on, if you look at it in the historical context, how do we even get into this position? You can think and understand why the globalists and the progressives have been pushing us down this path of basically trying to collapse this nation by, you know, creating so many different distractions and problems to where we're going to bankrupt ourselves from the indolence and the welfare programs that we have, which I'll get into in just a minute here, but as well as national security, having to fight wars that we shouldn't even be having to fight. We should never have been in this position. Clinton should have been tried for treason. And as far as I'm concerned, he should have dangled from the end of a rope. But instead, they went after him, and they didn't want to change the path that they were going down with Ken Starr. And I'm still shaking my head. Please explain this to me. And nobody can. So anyway, it's on my podcast page. Please go check it out. In the future, I know I'm actually inviting guests, and I understand that some of my guests are not going to necessarily agree. And I will tell you that you will find that lawyers and academics and those types of folks, when they read my premise, they won't like it, and they probably will think, well, and they're going to give us unconstitutional reasons how we've drifted and we just need to accept things the way they are. But I just want you to know that, you know, it's more important for the integrity of this show and not, you know, screening people out. And I, you know, I have a respect for a lot of these people in academia and even lawyers and so forth, even though I complain about them, because, you know, most of our problems have been caused by lawyers, politicians, bureaucrats, and so forth. But a lot of these guys are, you know, still, they have a perspective, and I think it's important to share that so that at least you can kind of see two sides of this. I've never been a person that's just read the one side of the issue. So I kind of understand in a grand scale or a macro what the problems are and what we're facing with the progressives. And bottom line, everything the progressives are doing are failed schemes to get us into enslavement. It's statism, and that's why for probably the past month I've been railing on Plato and his Republic. But before I get into that, as a reminder, I have a standing question for all concerned, whether we and whether the United States guarantees the freedom of religion or not, whether that Constitution guarantees us the freedom of religion. And I want you to, you know, kind of think about how you feel. And if you want to call, I'd love to talk to you about this, because I think a lot of people, and I think everybody's been programmed to believe that we have, you know, the carte blanche ability to worship the devil or worship whomever we want to worship, because the freedom of religion was instilled in the Constitution when actually it wasn't. Next week, you're definitely wanting to tune in. I have Aaron Tilbury from the Jonah Project on, and it will be good. I would just promise you, he's a local hero, and you need to hear what he has to say. And I, you know, I know that a lot of the groups that are coming in and talking on this show, they're doing very good things in our community, folks. And I know that you can support me, but there's other groups that you may have an affinity to. Please support who you feel, you know, will give you the bang for the buck. Got to do another break, and then we'll get into Platonism and communism. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back with some quotes from Madison. Okay, so let me add some insights on Platonism or communism, and these are things I have not said before. And let me point out that the fundamental building block to a society and key to its preservation is the family. In essence, the family is the nucleus to every society that has existed in the history of mankind and to the different cultures around the world. As I have said numerous times, the progressives a long time ago established a national secular church within the federal government. They have monopolized the narrative in our school system, teaching your children their faith and version of secularism. More importantly, they are inculcating or brainwashing your children to surrender their roles and responsibilities in the home to the state. If you look across the Republic, you will see these things actually happening. This has been an incremental ratcheting, or the boiling frog thing, an increasing of heat. By raising the temperature 1 degree at a time, they believe you will not notice. And by the way, the incremental ratcheting is a reference to Robert Higgs, who wrote the books Crisis and Leviathan and so forth. Excellent books. He's an economist, but he definitely gets into how government has constantly caused problems so that they can induce their solutions, such as the government programs and so forth. Social engineering projects as such have been around and well documented over the past century, from the end of the Civil War and ramped up even more in the 1930s with housing projects. The actual housing projects for the freemen and blacks in this nation started under Hoover, and then Roosevelt put them on steroids. Work programs also started in the 30s because everybody needed a job, and the government became the answer at that point. Handouts and freebies, all of it unconstitutional. If you look at who's taking care of these things before our government did these things, if you look in the history, who provided healthcare, who provided welfare, who provided jobs, employment, or getting people back on their feet and so forth. Let me ask you this. What are the names of the great hospitals that are well known in this nation? What are the institutions that used to run the education system, especially our old colleges? Who founded Harvard? Who founded Yale? Who used to administer the welfare to the people, you know, at the founding of this nation? In the early days of Congress, a debate on the floor of the House of Representatives occurred between Representative Livermore and James Madison regarding welfare or a subsidy for the cod fisheries in New England. This debate occurred in 1792. My bad. In 1792, and already members of the federal government was attuning themselves to using the federal purse to pay for these types of corporate welfare programs. this is what Madison actually had to say, and I want you, I'm going to cite, you know, a part of that debate, and I want you to go read the entire debate. It'll blow you away with the paradigm that the federal government was established on, not the paradigm that you know it today. And this is Madison, quote, "If Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may establish teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads other than post roads. In short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress. For every object I have mentioned would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare." He was basically arguing here, folks, that if they use the general welfare for the types of terms that they were going to use, the next thing you know, Congress would all of a sudden take over every facet of government. And that was not the limited government that they were given. And another, and probably the most powerful document I will read on this program will be Madison's veto. And I actually may read it more than once. But his veto of the bonus bill, which was the foundation of the Department of Transportation, or the attempted foundation of that, in 1817. It was March 3rd, I believe. You see, this paradigm of using the government purse to administer these matters actually existed in the very beginning, and Madison Point was on spot. Welfare, healthcare, education were the functions of who? Churches. Churches and communities, not government. As a matter of fact, that's why every state at the beginning of the Constitutional Republic had a state-sponsored church. They taxed people and they provided money to the state to ensure that the state had some form of financial backing to get books for school and to be able to do good things in their communities. And eventually, the states kind of started divorcing and stopped paying. And I think that was tragic. That was terrible by doing that, by going secular and saying the state's going to take this on. Well, by doing so, we started down this long road of secularism, and it opened the door for the National Secular Church. The secular progressives, with the help of some in the churches, have deliberately taken on these roles to undermine our society and to destroy our family. If you go through the Second Awakening, and I, you know, please buy my book if you really want to understand these things. But if you go through the Second Awakening was the beginning of where churches started abdicating the responsibility and they became profit organizations. I ask you, and I'm going to put this link up on my website, up on the podcast page, down at the bottom again, look for the Circle of Protection. There will be two links. There will be a link to the group and organization so you can read what their mission is. And then there will be a second link that will show you the signatories, those who are signed on to support the Circle of Protection. This is a group of religious organizations that are online in getting the government to ramp up the welfare programs so that they don't have to take money out of their purse and help their parishioners. I'm telling you, folks, they're abdicating the responsibility, and you should look. Is your church mentioned on here? And if so, you should be complaining and or walking with your feet and finding another church to tithe to. A long train of shifting and violations to the Constitution had been occurring since the Second Awakening. These cannot be by chance. On the other hand, this almost has a reek of a conspiracy that we've been leading down this, but I'm telling you that there is no way you can connect these dots. These have been independent, sometimes so associated, and or there's been some causal or collusion and or maybe a little bit of conspiracy here or there. But the whole reason this nation has been under attack and been moving in the secular direction and so forth really isn't because of this great plan that people have been following, other than the playbook that Plato provided and Marx and Engels and the Communist Manifesto and so forth, and others who have further regurgitated these evil concepts of subjugation, because that's what it is. This is an ideology of subjugation. It is taking away your liberty. And let me define liberty real quick, because a lot of people don't understand this. Liberty is three elements: free agency, responsibility, and accountability. Liberty means that you're free to make any choice you want to make. However, you must be responsible in a civil society for those choices that you make. And then when you've done harm or done wrong, then you must be accountable by the law of the land. And so that is what liberty and what our framers, I hate saying founding fathers because that's technically states, and I digress. The framers put in place a land of liberty where they didn't have to create a plethora of laws, because the churches were the real cornerstone of controlling the behavior. That's what Alexis de Tocqueville pointed out in his Democracy in America. He noticed that it was the churches that got America to behave good, because people were good in church. And when we were no longer good, then we will no longer be a great nation. And so technically, to be great again, we have to start going back to church. Making America great again, if you understand what we have to do. But I'm coming up against a break. I have one more segment, so please stay tuned. I think you'll appreciate the ending here. Okay, so let me try to close this. I've been wanting to get through this, and I've got just a few more minutes before this show is up. Our republic has gone through a long series of shameful political compromises for a century, and there's never been bills that have reclaimed or restored, or acts that have restored the things that went away in the first place, such as teaching creation. Now that basically evolution has been proven, that there's just no way that the hardware exists, and science has proven that, but the software, the DNA and the genomes, the codes that are required for life here on this planet did not get here. So they're searching for some asteroid delivering it instead of some intelligent design or some creator that we have been told through the biblical teachings and so forth that we were created anyway. And I'm not trying to necessarily make this all about religion, but I do believe that there's a couple of processes that have to begin, and we have to start really looking towards the hand of providence and getting the wisdom and insights again, because I truly believe that if you ask, you will receive. I truly believe that those insights can be provided. I truly believe that there is no doubt in my mind that Republic Review and auditing the Constitution is our process and convention. And when I use the word convention, I mean process. It's not necessarily, if you look up the definition of convention, convention is a process. It is not necessarily a conference and or a meeting. And if you look at the Constitutional Convention, they kind of went through the Articles of Confederation and brought in, as Madison said in Federalist Papers 33 and I think through 36, he talked about all of the, almost verbatim, some of the things of the Articles of Confederation were put into the Constitution in this convention, or in this process of creating a more malleable and pliable type of government that would be constrained, but it could be modified, because in the old confederation or in the old convention, you had to have a unanimous assension or acquiescence or agreement to an amendment to the Constitution. In other words, all states had to agree that, yes, we could do that. You had to have 100%. Today, it's the mark is 3/4, 75%. So, you know, it's still a doable way of changing the Constitution, but they knew that you had to have a super majority to make these changes. Well, these politicians and these bureaucrats and lawyers who were self-aggrandizing and, you know, wanted to basically create more power and centralize power for themselves, like John Marshall, he laid the unconstitutional footings for people to build upon later. It took time, but these men and politicians, lawyers, even women that are part of this in our history have, you know, literally done their dirty deeds in usurping state powers and bypassing the Article 5 process. If a power that is being exercised by the federal government has not been through the Article 5 process, where the states have looked at the amendment and said, we will grant this power to you, then the power that is being exercised is unconstitutional and is a blatant violation of the Constitution. And this isn't GR saying this. This is Jefferson saying this. This is Madison saying this, because if you read the Kentucky and the Virginia resolutions, when the federal government passed the Sedition Acts, when they violated the First Amendment in basically creating laws against speech, and when they created the Sedition Act, that was a blatant violation, because they to amend to allow them to all of a sudden control speech and to say this is illegal in speech, they have to amend the Constitution for them to be able to do that. And Jefferson and Madison called them out on it. Their intent at that point in time was not to call an Article 5 convention to amend the Constitution. What Madison and Jefferson did was they appealed to the states to stand up and basically admonish and chastise the federal government in overreaching its bounds, and basically put forth a bodied resolution from the Republic telling them to cease forth and desist, or that they will pursue other measures to remove those people who are not obliging the powers of the state. And so the states can and will intervene if they're aware of what's going on. But for two centuries, we have been told that the federal government can do anything, from John Marshall, from Hugo Black, and so forth, that the federal government has all powers and all discretions. All of these leaders have been telling us that they can do that. However, and I have said this, and I say this every time, who is being honest here? When Madison told us that the states had every advantage over the federal government, that they could deal with any encroachments and basically put the federal government back into check, who was being honest? Was that Madison being honest, or is it Hugo Black saying that the federal government has all the powers it necessarily needs to do anything because they're supreme in all things? I think Hugo Black had no clue as to those founding documents. And you got to understand that back in the 1930s, getting all of these documents, such as the DHRCP, or I should say the documentation of the ratification history of the Constitution, those types of things didn't exist. The internet didn't exist. And we have access to so much information today. We've been so blessed. And I believe that the divine hand of providence is actually providing us these types of insights that we can act upon and actually audit this Constitution and take it back. With that being said, I honestly believe that if you start, you know, reading some of these founding documents and these other citations that I'm providing, you will come to the assurity, as I have, that we do possess the power, that we don't have to do a massive education process. And I've been telling people that when we start exercising states' authority, people are going to start looking over and going, what are those guys doing over there in this auditing thing? Can they do that? And people will be forced to become educated. You don't know anything about cancer other than those few people that may have been affected in your life with cancer. And why is that? Because you actually had to get boned up and read up, unless you're a doctor. There's so many different technical things that we just don't understand and know. And so the motivation will come when people actually see that there is a change and a movement afoot in taking back the Constitution, because the states have the authority to do this. So I, you know, hope that you can start reading these documents. And before I go off the air, because I've literally only got a couple of minutes, I do want to talk about next week. I've already plugged this a little bit. The Jonah Project will be airing, and I'll be talking to Aaron Tilbury of the Jonah Project, and he's going to go through this dark little secret that's been going on in America. And I'm telling you that this was an imported slave trade that came into America, and I'm going to talk more about this slave trade. But this is a much bigger than you think. And most people think, oh, well, you know, they just thought it was down in San Diego or over in Atlanta. It's here in Spokane. And it is very important that we start understanding just how close we are in, you know, and how, like I started off, that our families are being threatened by the progressive paradigm, that our children, if you read Hillary Clinton's, and I'm sorry for speaking in sentence fragments, but if you read Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village, go to the library, like I've said before, she actually calls for the state to step in and become the mediator in how a child is to be raised, how to be fed, its nutrition and everything else, because it's all for the good of the child. And you're not to be trusted, and you're not to be allowed to give your religious dogma to your children. These things are starting to unfold, folks, and that's why we don't have a lot of time, but we can do this. I believe the Lord has given us these days to do this. And so we will be back next week with Aaron Tilbury, and I hope you tune in and listen for yourself. Thank you, and together we will reclaim this republic. Have a good week, and God bless.